Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit ComfortDental.com today.
Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is Jonathan Simmons, I'm very pleased to say, co-founder of digital agency Zone, co-founder of Experiences Marketplace, Yup, and CEO of NPC, New Philanthropy Capital, a think tank and consultancy helping philanthropists make smarter, evidence-based decisions about where to direct their resources. After a 25-year career building multiple purpose-driven businesses and charities, including digital agency Zone, later sold to US consultancy giant Cognizant, Jonathan embarked on philanthropy, impact investing, and mission-led businesses full-time. As CEO of NPC, which over the last 20 years has supported charities, philanthropists, and funders deliver impact and distribute millions of pounds, Jonathan believes, although there's certainly a culture of giving in the UK, there needs to be a culture of talking about it. And we'll certainly start talking about that very shortly. He's also a trustee of the Jewish Community Center, JW3, and leading donor advice fund provider, PRISM. A lot of stuff, Jonathan. It's lovely to meet you here. I mean, we know each other, so I should say that. Talk to me about how an entrepreneur becomes a chief exec of an organization like New Philanthropy Capital. Most founders I meet are founders, and they're founders again, and then they're founders again. Not you.
Yes, I hadn't thought of it this way, but I guess there's a point of it where once Zone was sold and we were out and it was finished, there was a definite question for all of us, for all the founders, which was about, and often I think for many entrepreneurs, what do I do now? And I kind of really positioned that as a bit of a second album, actually. So I kind of think that I wanted to do something really different. I didn't have the desire. The business had already scratched an itch for me. So I felt that the next step was to spend all my time doing something that had a positive impact on the society that we had. And so from that, then you look around and you don't necessarily need to create something. You don't have to go back to the beginning. And NPC was there and in a really good position and wanted to do some new stuff and wanted a disruptor. So I did it.
And the movement into becoming an entrepreneur, you'd done the usual thing, come out of university, people go, what do? I think you did a history degree?
I did a history degree.
Degree at Leeds University, a fine university, I may add.
Indeed.
Also, I may have gone to Leeds University. And then you do the bits and bobs, and then you discover the world of digital. This is the late 90s. And then Ripple dissolve, and suddenly you're the founder of a business, and it gets bigger, and you start doing stuff. What was it like going back then to that foundy mentality? Why did you become a founder, do you think, looking back?
Two different questions. I think it was amazing. It was really great fun, and you got to make up your own rules and do things your own way, and we got to do that twice, right? That once, as an entrepreneur, you get to make up your own business and do follow the rules you want to follow. And then we got to do it in a space where there were no rules. And digital was every time we did something, it was the first time anyone had ever done it. So we did the first sports website, or we did the first charity website, or these were all first that no one else had ever done. And that was great. So it was a lot of fun. I don't think we ever realized that we were starting anything particularly. We needed to generate revenue and have a business. And then from there, it kind of just got bigger and bigger every year. And at that point, you realize you're an entrepreneur and you've got something going. And we just thought that no one else would hire us, so we would go that way.
And the structure that you then had to bring to the thing that you happened to be doing, which was, as you said, building a website for a sports. What was it?
Channel 4. That was Channel 4 Cricket's website.
Channel 4 Cricket website. Again, they knew nothing about websites. They didn't have one. Yep. And then you go, lovely white space. Luck, or do you think you naturally were drawn to that digital space at the time?
No, I think it was the bringing together of two different skill sets. And actually, I think digital and technology has always been this. It was the kind of creative storytelling, what's become kind of user experience. How does a consumer face with that, which has always been part of the creative industries and lots of things. And then the kind of technical mindset of actually how do you make that work seamlessly and make sure it works every time. And we were very clear. I sat on the very creative storytelling brand consumer side of that fence. And when Channel 4 said to us, look, we want to build a website around this, then we had to go and get those technical skills. And one of the things that we did very, very well in the early days was we married those technical skills with that creative set. We didn't pick one or the other. And actually, all the way through, we had both of those teams working side by side.
Was that just instinctive? Because obviously, you go to 2018, you sell to a big company like Cognizant. They're buying ideas, but they're really buying delivery.
Yeah, they were definitely buying delivery. It felt instinctive to us. It wasn't the way a lot of the industry went at that time. A lot of the industry thought that the front end was the cool bit. And the bit that everybody needed to worry about, and it turns out the back end was the really cool bit and the stuff you really needed to worry about. That I think the technical bit of what we did and when we built digital, the stuff that kept the lights on, that made the site work, that made it, well, whether it be a site or an app or whatever project it was, made it work, was the really important bit. And over the years, that became, the utility of it became more important than the creative of it, if I'm honest.
Don't lose sight of the utility of things, even if it's really shiny. Stay with me for much more from my business shaper, Jonathan Simmers, entrepreneur turned chief exec of New Philanthropy Capital, and sits on a bunch of boards. I mean, you've not got much going on. Have you thought about doing something else?
I think you need to.
A lot of energy, right? I mean, you have
you've
energy.
You've got a lot of time.
You think?
Yes, there's loads of time in a day. So you've got to fill it with stuff. Otherwise, there's a brilliant organisation called the Good Ancestor Movement, which basically goes, what are you going to leave behind? So, like, you can't leave nothing behind if you're doing, you know, you have to do stuff.
What's interesting, Jonathan, is you look at your background, and this is, I alluded to this question and the thing I've been thinking about before today. You go to a nice school, you go to a nice university, you do what a whole bunch of people do, and then you went into a digital agency, it's commercial, but immediately you have an angle on it, which is we're going to do stuff for good, which is the one part of the business. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I'm right, there was a percentage of all the profits that went to...
How did it work? A percentage of all the work was purpose-driven.
A percentage of all the work was purpose-driven.
Yeah, we had to have... So we always worked with charities, and when you put what a charity pays up against what a commercial
reduced
organization
anyway.
you're making less money. And then that kind of morphed. We did some really big projects with big brands on their purpose-driven work.
So there's all that stuff going on there. Then you move into this New Philanthropy Capital thing, and I've heard you speak a lot about impact. Mm. At what point did this notion that, and you just said it then, going to leave? What are you going to leave behind? Mm. Why is it so important to you? What's influenced this brain and your thoughts?
I think probably a couple of things. One is I grew up in a youth movement, and when you kind of, a lot of these organisations, whether it be kind of like people like the Scouts, or I grew up in a Jewish youth movement, or those kind of organisations, you sit around talking about what's the point of you or the stuff you're going to do. So I had that kind of very early on. I grew up in, you know, my parents did philanthropic stuff, so it was all part of my kind of life growing up. When I got to work, and I can definitely pinpoint this, I remember really clearly, I won't say who I was working for at the time, because I did 2 or 3 years out of university where I worked for corporates. Someone said that you've got to leave your personality at the door. We have a culture here, and you have your culture outside of work, and that just was bonkers to me. It made no sense at all. I was like, well, hang on, but you're hiring me, right? And either I come or I don't. And so to me, that moment, I made the decision that where I could, everything I would do would have an impact lens across it, as well as, you know, I have to pay a mortgage, I've got children, all of those things, but they had to align. And I don't think you have to separate them. And there's a kind of a more maybe old-fashioned way, which is you can make your money over here and then you be philanthropic over there. That never made any sense to me. I thought, cut out the middle person and just always do something impactful. And if you can make some money out of that as well, then good. But impact should always be part of the consideration. So it was just obvious to me. And it's weird that when people don't do it, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And therefore, the way that you have lived your life, and we'll come to the latest album that you've released, as you said, the way you've lived your life has been in accordance with that. And so it isn't about, as you said, just simply giving money and time over to the left. It's about integrating that. And do you think you did that really successfully in the digital zone world? you're happy with as you look back on that time?
Yeah, I think we did it in two ways. I think we did it loads actually in the work we did, and we did some. We built the first diabetes tracker in the UK or something like that. So we built stuff that made a difference to people's lives. We built stuff that raised money for charity. We did all that. I think one of the other things you get to do when you're a business owner is you get to do it for the people that are in the business, which I wasn't expecting. Like you get to have an impact on lots of people's lives, and you can choose how you do that. And I think it's probably not for me to say, but I think we did a really good job in that as well. So that you kind of do, there's two ways of having an impact when you the work you do and the culture you set for the people, the way you run the business.
And the management team that was Zone at the mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. were they in the same boat? Did they agree with you? Were they totally aligned to Jonathan Simmons' view of the world?
No, but there's no problem with that, right? Like I wasn't totally aligned with their views of the world either. I think that we weren't trying to. They were totally supportive, and they totally understood what motivated me, and it didn't. You know, I don't know if it made the business better or it was better for the business, but it was my motivation, and that didn't make them any less good or less purpose driven. It's just that's not the bit of the business they wanted to do. But yeah, they were fully willing to let me do that thing.
Bring your personality through the door.
Well, they all definitely brought their personalities through the door. That everybody was aligned with that idea and the idea that you know we're best off if we are who we say we are. There's a line. You know, play everyone in their best position and kind of that. But I think they didn't, I don't think they overly thought it through whether it was okay or not. They just were supportive of me and they supported. And then we hired a lot of people who came for that reason. So supportive of them as well. It was who we were. It wasn't, I'm not sure there was ever a real decision that we would keep doing this. It was who we were, I think is the point. It was part, and businesses that grow from, you know, five people up, but have a DNA, and it was part of our DNA.
And is it conscious though, as you're doing it, you then suddenly have to go away from the craft skill of delivering the website for Channel 4 or whoever it might be, and then you're actively going, I mean, this question is, are you actively going, what's the shape of this business and what's the character of it?
No, I think...
Or did it just happen?
Yeah, it just, I think that there's different parts of it. There was the clients that we had, and making sure that the clients that we had, you know, were representative of, you know, whether it be charities or social enterprises or purpose-driven organisations or things like that. Like, if that was deliberate, let's go and get more charities, and the more charities we had or the more kind of social projects we had, the more we got, as any of these businesses work, because you become known for doing something. I think the cultural thing about running the business in a certain way was just natural to the people that were running it. I think if you don't care about that and you don't believe in it every day, then it won't work. You can't fake culture.
Yeah, and you can't push it in a certain way if it's
not
real.
You can't do let's do a culture session and work out who we want to be. No. You are who you are. And the people that I, you know, built Zone with are brilliant people.
Much more coming up from my guest, Jonathan Simmons, in a couple of minutes right now. Then we're going to hear a taster for the Michigan Innovation Series, which you can find on all the major podcast platforms. Lydia Kellett invites business founders to share their practical advice and industry insights for those of you thinking about starting your very own thing. In this clip, we hear from Paul Beistel, CEO of Hutan Bio, a technology company aiming to decouple long-distance transportation from fossil fuels with HBX, their zero-carbon biofuel.
The Michigan Innovation Series. Inspiration from founders of cutting-edge businesses. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Michigan Dorea.
What advice would you give to others at the early stages of creating a new-to-the-world technology or service or product?
So I think there's a couple of things. One, be sure you have a market. So I've seen so many things that are really good ideas, but actually they don't excite people and people don't part money for them. If it's not valuable, you can't get investment and then you can't grow. Having said that, you will get setbacks. So always pick yourself up and keep going. You know, I have the biggest emotional roller coaster of my life at work that, you know, in a single day, I'll have moments where it's the most amazing thing and then there'll be an investor presentation and it doesn't go quite as well as I wanted. And there's, so you've just got to be very resilient. The Hutan Bio role is great for that because actually the impact and the benefit is really clear and the story is really easy to tell. So I can kind of just go and look in the mirror, give myself a shake and get back out again. And then I guess the final thing is actually being able to tell the story. Investors are often not technical. Customers are not technical. People don't buy technology, they buy benefit. So trying to tell the story of why this is the right way to change the world is really important.
The Michigan Innovation Series. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishkon Dureya.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dureya. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast. You can hear this very program again with Jonathan if you pop Jazz Shapers into your podcast platform of choice. I am agnostic. You can do what you like. My guest today is Jonathan Simmons. I've said that before, just in case you missed it. And he's co-founder of digital agency Zone, co-founder of Experiences Marketplace, Yup, and CEO of New Philanthropy Capital. There's a tongue twister, a think tank and consultancy helping philanthropists make smarter, evidence-based decisions. All very serious stuff, Jonathan, about where to direct their resources. Just talk to me for a brief moment about Yup, because there's another thing that you have gone and co-founded.
Yeah, that was actually kind of the bridge from a commercial business into kind of the philanthropy thing, which is, I'm a huge believer in business and the ability for business to have a positive impact. And the challenge that we looked at with Yelp was really two things. One is that loneliness is a real thing, physical contact, and the lack of it or the decreasing amount of it is a really very serious, I would even say, epidemic, and is causing, I think, a lot of the problems that we have in our society. And secondly, one of the solutions to that are high streets, and because you meet people when you go and buy bread, or you quite literally break bread with people, right? And those businesses are getting hammered by e-commerce. And the answer is not, please shop locally because it's good for us. You have to kind of take a business view of it. So we looked at those businesses and thought, well, experiences is something that they can do that the internet can't do. So baking bread, or working with a music, because I'm sitting in Jazz FM, working with a music shop to write a song or build your own guitar or do one of these things.
These are experiential things.
They're experiences. And then so, but the problem, if you're a music shop and you want to, do something with a guitar or some kind of experience in that music shop, or a record shop and, build your record collection one day with us, come to us and we'll curate your record collection. The problem with that is, it's very difficult for them to do that because how do they market it? How do you accept money for it? What's the ticketing system? All that. So digital's really good at building that platform. So we built that platform that then allows hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those businesses to come on and offer those experiences. And that now exists in 5 cities in the UK. So it's very good.
And this was actually just at the beginning of lockdown. Is that right?
Yeah, that was really not good.
No. Funny enough, yes.
Physical experiences, you can't actually experience really difficult. Them. Yeah, that was a really difficult.
But still going.
Still going, definitely, and really making a seriously positive impact, putting real money into small businesses, small independent businesses on high streets. So the objective of it to do that is absolutely working. It's an amazing success.
Now, I know you maintain that you're not evangelical about other people and what they think. You're incredibly evangelical about yourself, though, in the sense that you've applied your philosophy of life to the way you've run your life. And have you thought of it like that? Because as I'm listening to you and I, read up about you, it's like you've really stuck to your guns. And this latest iteration is not a surprise.
Yes, I think I've never thought of it like that, but yes, but that's because that's who I am. And I'm evangelical about being who I am. I don't think you should try and be someone different. And this matters to me. I just wouldn't know what to do with myself if the thing I was doing wasn't trying to have some kind of positive impact. Doesn't always work. But I have done stuff that has, you really struggle to see an impact because there might be a personal impact. And I don't take anything away from someone who feels that they've got to put food on the table. And if that means they have to do something that doesn't have an impact for society, then go for it, because they're doing something positive. I do question people when they're having no positive impact. Like, it's like, what are you doing? You're part of a society, come on. So I may get evangelical there.
Jonathan Simmons, my business shaper. He is the CEO of New Philanthropy Capital. I can't actually say it, though, of course.
I didn't name it, but it actually does what it says.
NPC.
NPC, my kids. Yeah,
NPC. I know, it's not NPC, obviously. What is it like being the chief exec? Are you still an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow. That is a tricky... Well, I'm not an entrepreneur because...
Are you entrepreneurial?
I'm definitely entrepreneurial, but I think...
And do they like it, this world? I mean, it's not a world that you would associate with fresh and new ideas and leadership, which is vibrant and dynamic. And I don't mean that to be rude to the sector, but the sector does not have that perception.
Oh, I mean, so many questions. So if I just break some of that down, right? So it's not mine. So I can't be an entrepreneur. It's a charity. There is a completely different relationship between the people that work there and the mission, because it's the objective is not to, we can't build in whichever way we want. We have objectives and governance. I've got, you know, a board of 10 trustees that get to hold me to account every, you know, and so I think that is that's a huge difference when you're working for an organization that is, well, for charity, frankly. I think I absolutely take task with the idea that as a sector, it's not entrepreneurial or exciting. Or I think it is difficult. It's much harder to do it in this sector because A, your decisions can have a much bigger impact, right? And B, because of governance, and there is a certain governance rules that make it harder to be entrepreneurial. So for example, we always have to have months and months worth of money in reserves because that's what a charity has to do. You know, fortunately, we always did have that because it went very well. But in a business case, sometimes you are quite literally going hand to mouth. We could not do that because that would not be responsible. So there are differences there. Being a CEO without the team that I built Zone with is new, and it's enjoyable in some ways because I get to work with brilliant people, but I miss some of the camera. I don't think I realized how lucky I was when I was working as a team of six.
You all grew up together.
Yeah, exactly.
There were six of you, you're a gang, and suddenly you're the CEO, and of course there's a hierarchical thing.
Well, we didn't all join together. They do. And you know, I don't really believe in kind of, I don't think many people do anymore, that kind of, you know, hierarchical way of running an organization. We're not the army. But I think.
But the buck stops with you, in a way. Jonathan. It probably didn't quite as in, it's much more of a solo affair with you sitting at that level. Is that true?
No, because in a funny way, this isn't mine in the same way. So the buck doesn't stop with me. I feel really responsible in both cases. I think possibly the difference now I'm thinking about it is we didn't all go on the journey together. People have joined at different parts of the journey. And I've joined, MPC is 23 years old. So I've joined at a point that it's 23 years old. And there's some really important legacy stuff, which I have to maintain. And there's DNA in MPC, which maybe isn't in my DNA. So we have to figure all that stuff out. But it's a different project, and that's super exciting. But I'm the same person. I still come in with my kind of entrepreneurial, definitely that would be, people would see that I'm very entrepreneurial about the way we go about it. If it works, let's keep doing it. If it doesn't work, let's stop, which is, I think, one of the kind of traits of entrepreneurs, right? You don't mess around with stuff that isn't working.
But you're still bringing you right into the business and into the organisation, rather.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Final chat with my guest today, Jonathan Simmons, in a couple of minutes. And we've got some Kamasi Washington for you too. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
Just for a few minutes, I'm with my business shaper. His name is Jonathan Simmons, just in case you didn't catch it. He's the CEO of New Philanthropy Capital. New Philanthropy Capital, in a nutshell, what's its mission?
Its mission, really, two things. One is that if people want to point their money at doing good, then we want to make sure that money's impactful. So lots of measurement, lots of evaluation. Does your money or does that money have the impact that you want it to have? But secondly, and very importantly, it's about growing that amount of money. Looking at, if you look at wealth as a whole and say how much of someone's portfolio is focused on positive impact, whatever that number is, and we can talk a bit about that, but whatever that number is, we want to make that number bigger, because the bigger that is, the more impact we might be able to have. And we're at a time where we need to do some positive impact on stuff.
And it sounds like there's two sides of the balance sheet there. One is, if you tell me how you're using my money to make positive impact, then I'm probably going to give you more. If you're going to have to measure the thing, then you have to measure it accurately and in ways I understand.
Yeah, the measurement problem is because people are very used to measurement in pounds and pence, and that's really difficult, right? When you're measuring the kind of things that we're measuring, and also, as in business, things don't always work. So you want to be careful of, let's only back the stuff that works, because so it's important that it really is about building a conversation around what is the change you want to see, or what is the problem that you and your community or a particular community is finding. And then let's make sure that we're investing in the right things. And then when those things start to bear fruit, then yes, we think more money will come in. It's also a comms problem. We're not very good at telling the story of when stuff works.
I was going to ask you briefly, is that kind of number one on your list of what Jonathan in his CEO role is trying to do, not just for MPC, but for the impact sector?
I think it's really strange that if I make an investment in a business and that business makes money, I tell all my friends about it.
Yeah.
And if I put my time or my money or my expertise into some kind of philanthropic, whether that be a purpose-driven business or a social enterprise or a charity, and that does really well, I'm probably in Britain a bit more quiet about that. That feels like completely the wrong way around to me.
So you want the volume to be up on the things that are great that are happening?
I want it to feel like a super exciting. I work in the most exciting sector in the country. I work in the impact sector. Is the most exciting sector because we spend our time making our society better. And there are millions of people that work in the sector. But it doesn't feel very exciting to the outside world. It feels like you mentioned it earlier. You asked a question about kind of the differences between working inside a charity and stuff like that. I want that difference to be, this is amazing. It's amazing to be purpose-driven. And I don't think it necessarily feels like that at the moment for people. So we have to, and that's a storytelling piece. So yeah, it probably is my number one priority at the moment, yeah.
And it's going to be my last question just before I ask you what your song choice is. The challenge facing you now... Mm. If you solve this, do you think you will have done something more important than the thing that you did before when you were an entrepreneur?
Oh, massively. Well, I say that. So the thing I did for an entrepreneur was largely for my family. Right? It allowed me to own a home and, put food on the table and do those kind of things. This is a completely different scale of if we can shift the dial a little bit on philanthropy or social purpose or impact investment, if we can just shift the dial 1 or 2%, that's billions of pounds. And so we're not the only people doing this. There's a big community of people trying to do it. And if we can move the dial and encourage anybody who's got more than they need to, and that's a personal thing, how much you need. But once you think you might have more than you need, we can point that toward doing good, then that's huge. I mean, that's huge. So yes, bigger.
Good. It's been really great chatting to you, Jonathan.
You.
Go off and into the sunset and go make it bigger. Make the contribution bigger, make the impact bigger. And I love the way you have this is the thread that binds everything together. I think it's incredible that you're so focused on it. And it's fantastic to see that. Just before I let you go, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it? And you can tell me the truth about why you've chosen this, but didn't choose this, but you may have chosen something else.
Well, so I wanted to choose
that's okay.
Ready or Not by the Fugees, because I'm the most unmusical person in the world. One of the things you made me laugh when you said there's a relationship between entrepreneurs and kind of musicians, because I'm yet to find it. So I'm super excited that I'm going to go home and practice. But the only time in my life I ever discovered a band before anybody else was the Fugees, and I mistakenly thought maybe they could be a bit jazzy. So I loved Ready or Not, and I listened to that over and over again. But it turns out that the original is a jazz song. So is it
Delphonics?
The Delphonics. See, I don't even know the name, but I do know the song. So I'm going to go with that.
Here it is, Delphonics. Ready or Not, Here I Come. Can't Hide from Love. For you, Jonathan Simmons. The Delphonics with Ready or Not, Here I Come, Can't Hide from Love. The song choice, kind of my business shaper today, Jonathan Simmons. He talked about that question that every entrepreneur when they exit has, which is, well, what do I do now? He talked about playing everyone in their best position and how that had informed the philosophy of making people perform really well in the business that he was running, and indeed the camaraderie around the six people that were at the core of the leadership team. And he talks about impact and affecting people in the business and how he hadn't thought that that would be an important thing, but it has been. And finally, we all need to better tell the story of people making a positive impact on our society. That's it from me and Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.